Let's begin here this morning. Let's just take a moment here to pray. Father, we come before you to lift up the name of Jesus, to worship you today, but also to receive from you. Father, I invite your Holy Spirit to move upon this service today. We invite your presence here in a tangible way, a way that you would minister personally. You know us by name. You know the things that we're facing in life. But Father, how much more can we receive from you today through the teaching, the ministry, the preaching? We'd ask for the gifts to be in operation today. That Father, if there's healing that's needed, that Father, you've paid for that price. And so, Lord, we look to you as the author and the finisher of our faith. We give you glory, we give you praise, and we give you entrance now into our heart, that we'd be teachable, open to you, and, Father, that we would be humble enough to change at your request. So I give you praise, I give you glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. I'd like to begin this morning. Let's open up with Galatians chapter 3. And in Galatians, we find some facts, some redemptive truths. And I'm going to be talking about redemptive realities today. And these are realities that are done in the Spirit that are to be applied into your personal life and give you a better quality of life. And I think that today we're going to see some things that Jesus has paid for, but maybe hasn't been utilized to the fullest. Everybody, I believe, is probably saved here today, asked Jesus in their heart as Lord and Savior. But are we taking advantage of the package deal? We're called to be heirs together. We're called to be heirs and that there's an inheritance. Jesus has already died. The covenant, the will, the testament is in motion. And it's available for you and I today. Can I have an amen? So what we see here in Galatians 3:13, let's go ahead and begin to read that. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Everybody say, that's me. Okay, there's two types of churches. There's spectators and participants. Everybody here is a participant this morning. You're going to help me preach this message, okay? The more you pull on me, the more the Lord can work through me, and that there is a connection that's going to take place. And so we're coming up to a place that God is going to deposit some things today that is going to change your life. Are you ready for change?
Yes.
And so what we're seeing here is that we are blessed if we receive what Jesus has done, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, you and I, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I want to talk about being blessed or cursed. Blessed or cursed. Which one do you want? Blessed. Okay. So there is a choice. But there is the category of being cursed. And this is very real. Because we see that there is a curse. Now, I went to a Bible school, a college actually. This wasn't Rhema, it was North Central. But the school itself was for Word of Faith. I knew Dr. Arguer, I talked to him. But I also had the opportunity to know Irene. Frank and Irene were the founders of North Central, and it was a Pentecostal charismatic school at the beginning. And another pastor and I went up to see her in the hospital. Frank had already passed on. And Irene was telling us, she says, you know, when we started North Central, we had to bring the furniture in through the back door because they were protesting from the community. They didn't want these holy roller chandelier swinging people coming into their neck of the woods. But they got in and they were changing the community. And it was interesting that she could preach. She was a spitfire. She had something to say. She loved Jesus and she made a change in the earth, in the community, right? So when I say that, I knew what the school represented, but there's still personalities. You got your favorite teacher? Yeah. And there's five offices. You know, you got the prophet, apostle, teacher, evangelist, and pastors, helps. But now each of those are anointed, but you might have your favorite pastor. Like, I was just down at a conference with Pastor John Nitzel, and it was for DCPI, Dynamic Church Planning International. And there were several speakers, and I tell you what, John is like one of my favorite speakers that we heard down there. Now, they were all anointed, they all had truth, but you and I have different personalities that we connect with, and that's okay. There's different offices that you're going to connect. Maybe you're more of an outreach evangelist at heart. Maybe you are youth pastor all the way and you're just bouncing off the walls. But then there's the teacher, line upon line, precept upon precept, example on example. I'm just doing that as a outside little tidbit. But they all are anointed offices. You can receive from an evangelist, you can receive from a pastor, and today you get to receive from a teacher, amen? Pastor, teacher. So what we're seeing is that I was at this school, professor gets up, he says, if we're redeemed from the curse, why does Brother Hagen have weeds in his garden? Ticked me off, made me upset, angry. I didn't like it. And I especially didn't like it because I didn't have the answer, didn't have a response. Not that I needed to, I was a student in the class. But I went, I was driving home and I was like, Lord, what's up with that? Why does that irritate me so much? So I get back to the office or back to the house, I guess. And I look at this book, Redeemed from Poverty, Sickness, and Spiritual Death. It was written by Brother Hagen. I was like, that's it. Jesus didn't come to redeem me from weeds. I was like, Revelation. It's like, I knew that in the back of my mind, but it wasn't on the forefront to be able to communicate it. This whole earth groans and travails until the return of Christ. So there is a curse of the fall, but we're talking about the curse of the law. So we need to define, what is it that Jesus has redeemed you and I from? That's good news, isn't it? Let's find out the redemptive realities so that I can live in the victory of what Jesus has already provided. Oh, that's shouting ground right there. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. There's some good news here today that's going to set us free, put us over, give us favor, and live in the abundance of what Jesus paid for. So what we're doing is we're going somewhere, and this is going to change your life. It changed mine. So let's go back and define this. What is the curse according to the Bible? It's not a witch's hex. It's not just speaking evil over someone. There should be a biblical definition of what's the curse, and specifically of the law, that Jesus has paid the price that he's redeemed us from. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I like to use scripture. I hope you brought your Bible today. And we're going to see what the curse of the law is. The first 14 verses of Deuteronomy 28 actually talk about the blessing. If you hearken and obey. It says three times in this chapter, if you hearken and obey. That's the contingency. Verse 2 of chapter 28 says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. So what we're seeing here is the law is being talked about, that there's blessing when you obey, but there's cursing when we disobey. And so the blessing, and you're probably familiar with some of these statements, I'm sure you probably are, that I'm the head and not the tail, I'm above and not beneath, blessed going in, blessed going out. That sounds like a good day, doesn't it? That's something that I want for everybody here. I want you to be blessed going out of this house today, out of this church. And so when we see this, we get a hold of this truth. There is blessing when you go to school. There's blessing when you do your homework. There's blessing when you're living right. But there's more to it, because this word is the law to show us that nobody can measure up. Friends, I'm going to be open with you. Nobody can live up to the law. In fact, back in Galatians 3, the whole chapter is about living by faith, and that the law was a schoolmaster. It's a teacher to show you that you can't do it. You fall short. Everybody here, our righteousness is as filthy rags. We don't qualify. But there is someone who does. His name is Jesus today. And so I want us to see that, okay, the law was given to keep showing them their shortcomings. And when we get to this place of understanding that I can't do it on my own, then it puts my focus back on who did, Jesus. But the moment I think that, well, I got to be good enough to get a healing, we're going to fail miserably. If I live right, I'll be blessed. Well, the day that you fall short, you got to start all over again. I don't know about you, but I've been there. And I'm like, this isn't working. And I got frustrated, rebellious, and I said, forget this. I grew up with the do's and the don'ts of a good Baptist family that loved people, but I could never qualify. Nothing against the Baptists. I mean, they love the word. The word is first and foremost, and I value that heritage. But it did something to me that I just never could get there. And I got tired of that. So I walked away from the things of God. But don't you love those "but God" scriptures? But God. And he's so full of mercy. I love what David says. He's full of compassion. James says it too. Full. Everybody say full. He is full of mercy. Oh man, that's just over the top. I'd sooner be on the mercy side than the judgment side. And so we're finding here that this first 14 verses is about the blessing, and that God's goodness has been poured out with a new and better covenant, that Jesus was the final sacrifice. The things that have changed from old to new is only what Jesus has paid for. Tithing is still part of the New Testament. Jesus didn't take that off the books, but he is a better sacrifice than bulls and goats. And it says that he was the final sacrifice for all, once and for all. So finding here this morning that we're blessed in the first 14 verses, let's look at verse 15. Hear what this says. He says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." And I'll just summarize: cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in your basket, the fruit of your body, the increase of your flocks, curse coming in, going out. There's a vexing that happens. You'll be smite with consumption, fever, inflammation. You see the sickness that's listed for the next 60 verses? I tell you what, it's a botch, emrods, itch. I mean, it lists everything here that they can think of. But if that's not enough, he says in verse 61, "Every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." So it's covering the full gamma. It's got everything listed. Now when it says the Lord, it's based on, it sounds causative because the verbiage in Hebrew doesn't have permissive. And so when you see that, you have to put the word allow. God's not going to curse and bless. He's not going to be double-minded. He's not bipolar. He's certainly single in his purpose. But the Hebrew brought over to the English makes it sound like the Lord did this. But really the better wording is the Lord allows this because of disobedience, because of not listening and obeying. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed today. And I want to see it from the New Testament, this new covenant, this new will after the death of Jesus has now been presented to you and I. So that word redeemed is important. What do you think redeemed? Just shout at me some definitions. What's redeemed mean to you? Freedom. I like that. Who else?
Forgiven.
Forgiven. Yep. Freedom, forgiven. Who else? Redeemed. Saved. Set free. I like it. Thank you. What's your name?
Jaden.
So Jaden said bought back. That means purchased again. I've redeemed this. I've redeemed you. Jesus has redeemed us. Tony Cook shared a story about a little boy who made a sailboat model, puts it all together, gets it all done, hulls put together, masts, puts sails on it, goes down to the stream and puts it in and starts running alongside. So he's very proud, he's very excited, he sees this new sailboat that he created going down the stream, and all of a sudden it starts to pick up speed. And the sailboat goes further and further away, and he can't catch up, and eventually it's too far to be seen. So he's going back, and a few days later, he's actually going into town, and here in the storefront window is his sailboat. It's for sale. He sees it there. He finds out how much it is. He goes home, empties out his coins and the money that he had, goes down there and buys his sailboat again. And as he's walking home with his sailboat, he says, "You are doubly mine. Not only did I create you, but I bought you and paid the price for you." And of course, you see the similarities, don't you? Jesus, the Father, he created us. But of course, sin and disobedience has broken that fellowship. So he sent Jesus again to pay the price so that we could be doubly his today. We're bought back with the price of Jesus' sacrifice. Hallelujah. And so he's redeemed us. He's redeemed us from the curse. And friends, there's so much more to this. I hope you get this message today, because I'm not just saved from my sin to go to heaven. I am saved to live a blessed life here today. I'm talking blessed going in, blessed going out. If it was true for Israel, how much more? Oh, friends, that'll preach right there. Romans chapter 8. If he gave us Jesus, how much more will he give us all things? Come on now. All things. All things. Is that just a few things? No, he said all things richly to enjoy. I'm supposed to enjoy life today. Oh, man, I tell you what, there is more than enough. John Osteen, he used to say, if he gave you the diamond of heaven, he's certainly going to give you the box of Cayman. Good stuff. And so we're seeing David. My cup runneth over. It's not just half full today. I've got overflow. You ever notice God will do it more than enough? More than a conqueror. It's not just to the limit. It's over and above, running over, spilling, pressed down, shaken together, running over is the gospel of Luke. Amen. And some people get upset though. They don't be talking about my money. You know, we can talk about sin and being forgiven, but how many know about the financial side that Jesus paid for? 2 Corinthians 8, read the whole chapter. It's all about money. But what does he say? That he became poor that I might be rich. Can we say rich in church? And maybe some of you know this already, but it's a good reminder to say, hey, am I putting this into practice? Am I believing it today? Am I expecting it every time I walk out the door? That not only is my sin forgiven, but he's paid the price so that I could have more than enough. Hallelujah. I think we can believe for healing, right? That by his stripes we were healed. And so when we get a hold of this truth, some people, they don't want you talking about their money. But when you understand that I'm a steward, that he owns the cattle of how many hills? 1,000 hills. That it's the Lord that gives us power to prosper, to increase. Who does? The Lord. It's the abilities he's given me and you. That he delights in the prosperity of his servant. I'm quoting scripture here today. And so we get a hold of these truths that he took my sin. See, this is what changed my life, is righteousness, consciousness. Not just forgiven to get to heaven. It's not a get out of hell free card. It'll get me started. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 changed my life. You know, so many live on fire insurance. I just don't want to burn. But I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he who knew no sin was made sin that I might receive the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ my Lord. It changed my life. I didn't need a treatment facility. I didn't even need to go through secular counseling anymore to end old habits. I didn't get up and say, hi, I'm Mark, I'm an alcoholic anymore. I said, I am Mark, I am the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. It changed my life from the inside out. It set me free. Somebody said that before. He paid the price so that I don't have to look back. Somebody could walk down the aisle today and say, I know what you used to do. And I said, yeah, you can point that crooked finger at me, but it's all under the blood and he's forgotten. Amen. I tell you what, the blood doesn't just wash your sins away, it cleanses you. And if it's on the doorpost of your heart today, it will protect you too. The enemy can't take your life. Remember Israel? Blood was on the doorpost. The death angel had no entrance. No entrance here, friends. I'm going to finish my race. I'm going to run my race and finish my course. Because Paul said, I got to see Rome. You know when your race is done, and he's not done because you're still here. Amen? Amen. Peter says, I'm going to put off this tabernacle shortly. Jesus knew when he was, I think you can know when your race is done, and the time is ready to go on home. And that's a happy day too, that in the Father's eyes, it's precious in his sight, the death of one of his saints. So coming back, that I'm redeemed today. You and I are redeemed today. That we've been bought with a price. That he paid the penalty, not only for sin, but for what was the curse of the law. So when we see this, we know that there is a blessing. And there's two definitions, really. David talks about blessed is the man. In Psalms, and that would be happy quite often is interpreted there. Happy is the man. But how about better yet, to know blessed from the empowered to prosper. That's another definition. You have to go back to the usage of the word and look at context of it. But I am blessed with supernatural ability. I'm empowered from God on high. For what Jesus has paid for has given you and I entrance to not only right standing with him, that's what righteousness is, that I am forgiven, that he has given me right standing. I can come boldly to the throne of grace in the time of need. If you have a need, you come to the throne of what? Grace, favor, power is released. And that's why he's saying you are blessed today. And with this truth, with this knowledge, you can now apply it to your faith walk. And so I want us to get a hold of that. Let's go over to Galatians, a couple verses before. Galatians 3, I want to read to you 7 through 10. This is right before what we started with as our text. So it's a preliminary statement. Verse 7. Know you therefore. Now, I'm going to say, whenever you see that word know, I've underlined it. I make it a notation. I'm supposed to know this. That's what that means, right? And you go through Romans, don't you know? It's almost like you should be beyond this. This is basic. And so he's telling us here, know this. So I'm just saying, underline these statements when you see them. Know you, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So he's prophesied. So then, verse 9, they which be of faith, everybody say, that's me. They which be of faith, you and I, are blessed with faithful Abraham. So there's Christians that are saved, but they're not living the blessed life because they don't know this truth. And I say it today, are you at a place that you could teach us to your kids, to your grandkids? Are they seeing the example of, hey, I'm blessed. Blessed coming in, blessed going out, blessed over and above, and seeing that what Jesus has paid for is now belonging to you, and it's a legacy I want to leave behind. Amen? And so this blessing of God is by faith. We just read that. Tell me this, how are you going to receive it by faith? Anybody? Anybody? How are we going to receive by faith? Okay. It's not by works. It's not by me being good enough. It's not by me doing something in the natural of saying, well, I didn't lie, I didn't cheat, but really Paul's saying, what about your attitude? Okay, believing, praising, thanking him, okay? I like that. See, that's exactly what I'm looking for. See, you guys got it. There's something here that we begin to do with our heart. It's not a works program. How many times I've seen, I taught healing school for 20 years at Living Word. I'd see people come in and they're trying to earn a healing. Well, I messed up today. Well, I've messed up too. I don't know about you, but you know. We've got all areas that we can grow in, right? Certainly, I believe in sanctification, but it's an ongoing work, too. It's a one-time experience, but an ongoing work that as I grow, God shows me more about, hey, attitude. Paul brought that up, didn't he? He says, you're doing good, but what about this? And he puts gossip right next to murder. Wow. So I tell you what, it's not a works program because the moment I missed it, got short with Lori, wasn't so nice with my words, or, you know, it's not a moral failure, but it's still not the best Jesus example to get upset with somebody and lose your cool. And so I'm just being open here, right? Okay. And so when we all have missed it or did something that we regretted afterwards, or like, why did I even say that about so-and-so? Didn't need to do that. Father, I'm sorry. Forgive me. And so that faith walk is what we're talking about. Not by works, but coming back and saying, I asked forgiveness for road rage on the here today, on the way here today. No, I'm just saying, you know. But you know what? You could get upset with somebody who cut you off. And you can ask, Lord, please forgive me. And he can still walk in and greet everybody, be happy, and still say, I'm blessed. Because if you confess it with your mouth, well, let's go back to John 1:9. If you sin, confess it, and he will what? He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I qualify again. I can come boldly to the throne of grace because it's by the blood of Jesus and what Jesus has done. He's redeemed me. He's redeemed me. You see the importance of that word? Coming back and being redeemed, paid for, I qualify so you can receive a healing. You can receive a blessing today. Finances, You expect the favor of God to overtake you. My cup runs over. Just let these words get in your spirit, and that expectation will rise up the more you think, meditate, and say it for yourself. Say it. Just listen to the Lord and what he says about this. Life and death is in the power of the mouth. And if that's not enough, he even says, choose life. Let me help you with that question. Choose life. Choose words of life. Choose the words of blessing and get the principle. So that scripture I gave you, 2 Corinthians 5:21, I said it changed my life. Romans 8, 1 and 2, for the law of the spirit of life has made me free from the law of cigarettes, nicotine, coke, alcohol, sex, whatever you got to deal, cancer. The law, did you hear that? There is a spiritual law given to you and I to be freed this day from what the enemy has tormented many Christians with. I'm talking about a victorious Christian life, because as you read the rest of the chapter, it says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Everybody say, I'm free. You get a hold of the word of God, the truth of God, and speak that and confess it and say, I'm believing and acting accordingly. That's faith. So, 2 Corinthians 5:20, for he was made sin who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Friends, I'm saying I can boldly stand up here today and say, I have right standing with God. I am righteous today. There's no sin on my account. I have been cleansed, washed, redeemed, bought back, and I can confess blessing. I qualify not by what I did, but it comes back to what Jesus has done for me. Oh, does he get the glory today? He is my Savior, my deliverer. He is my provider, my protector, and he's going to make sure I have a good time serving him. I'm talking your testimony this morning. So I'm not only free from sin, but I get the redemptive realities, what Jesus has paid for, redemptive. What Jesus has paid for as a reality in my life today. And when I speak that word, confess that promise, and side in and declare what Jesus has done for Mark, you put your name in there, you're going to see it too. Changed my life. So when I preach righteousness, I see people's countenance change. I've seen it on their face. As I preach this word, this message, and people get a hold of the truth that I have right standing with God. He hears my prayer. He answers my prayer. How about that? That when I pray, I know he heard it. And I know I got it. Because I prayed according to his will, his promise, his word. I got the word on it. And so that countenance change affects you on the outside. You get a hold of a life change experience that I am right. I am forgiven. I am a blood-bought son, daughter of the Most High today. And I can pull up a table, a chair at the table, and eat with the king. He says you're seated with him. There's a place called Lodabar. And I forgot his name. Methuselah. No, not Methuselah. Well, anyway, I forgot his name, but he was a descendant of Saul, and David wanted to bless any remnant of the kingdom of Saul heritage. And there was one man left. It was his grandson. He says, call him. He was crippled. And so they called him. He says, you have half the kingdom. You will always have a place at my table. And I'm telling you today, you have been reestablished. And that's the heart of God for you and I. He has invited us to the king's table, and there's always a place for you. Another example of what I'm talking about today. Not just sin, but now freedom from poverty. You remember the prodigal, right? The prodigal ran off with the inheritance, spent all that he had, got into the world and partied it away. But when he comes back, the father's been looking for him every day. We know this part of the story. But the father puts him in a place, he comes to us and says, I'm humbled myself, I'll be a servant in your home. Put me in the bunkhouse, the servant's quarters. And the father says, not happening. I'm putting a ring on your finger, a coat on your back, and we're killing the fatted calf and celebrating, for my son has come home. So you see what the father's heart is to restore the authority, the position in the family, and all that goes with it. But here's the other side that gets forgotten is the elder son, the brother. He's ticked. There's people in the church ticked about this message today. Now, nobody here, I don't think, and, you know, but it's the example that the older brother's ticked. He comes home after sin, party life, and he gets restored like that? Uh-uh. I'm not going in there. I'm not going to celebrate. It's not right. And so the father, the Lord, goes out there, and he puts his arm around him. It's like he's saying, Danny, I love you. Don't you know? And hear these words. All that I have is yours. What? You've been with me the whole time, but he's over here. I've been working for you. I've been doing this, this, and this. I've got my list of things that I've accomplished for this farm. You hear that? He's back on that works mentality over here. By grace thou art saved. He put his faith to work. He came home humble, and he gets restored completely. It's going to tick some religious people off who are stuck in the works mentality. Because Jesus paid the price. I want to be over here on the victory side today. I want to be over here and say, it's all about Jesus. He paid the price for me. He's blessed me today. And it's not because of who I am. It's because of what Jesus has done. He gets all the credit. And so when I walk my life out now, I begin to go through a passion of, I don't want to hurt this relationship. It's too good. Just think about when you met your spouse or your girlfriend, boyfriend. You were putting your best foot forward, right? You are presenting yourself in the best possible light. And you're not coming for, well, this is a problem in my life. This is what's happened. This is an area that I'm still working on. Nobody's doing that on the first date, right? You're protecting it in the relationship. And so you think about who Jesus is, the love of your life, the one who's paid for everything, who's blessing you, keeping you. He is your marriage partner. Isn't he? He's the groom coming back for us, the bride. I don't want to ever damage that relationship. And so when I know that blessing and inheritance, which is another whole topic on this, belongs to me, I don't want to get lost. I don't want to damage it. I want to receive all the blessings that God has for me and you. So good. So we do this by faith. Get the promise. 2 Corinthians 5:21 is a good verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about finance specifically. But it says that he became poor, that I might be rich. It said that he had no place, not there, but Old Testament. He had no place to lay his head. Everybody here is going to have a bed. Everybody here can believe for God for provision. And how about healing? We're redeemed from poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. As you go back and you read the end of Deuteronomy 28, it says that there were those who disobeyed and ended up back again at Egypt. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to be captive in the world system. And really, Satan is the god of this world, so we could say there is a bondage that believers can end up back in under Satan. But he's redeemed me. He's paid the price for me. You always have the choice to go back to the world. But after you taste and see that the Lord is good, why would you want to? It's so wonderful. But I understand people start getting their appetite in a different direction, start looking. Remember Lot? Because of what he saw and heard, he vexed his righteous soul. Still believing he went to heaven, but he lived a tormented life because of where he pitched his camp. What he was looking at and what he was listening to. Feeding the wrong appetite, and it grows from there, and it'll take you down eventually. So I feel like I shared what was in my heart. Let me just, couple things. Let me, one verse here, over in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Now the Lord is talking about Abraham's blessing, which we are counted with. The Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. God will show you, make you, and bless you. And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Everybody say, all families.
All families.
That's you and I. So we're seeing here the ministry, where it began, was with Abraham. Then we went to Genesis, or Galatians 3, and it said there again, with Father Abraham, you and I are blessed. The just shall live by faith. It's not do the works of faith, it's a lifestyle of faith. And so you get a hold of that truth. With this, I just wanted to put that connection there with Abraham. But do you remember the account of Balaam? Prophet Balaam. He was in a land where Balak was king, and Israel is coming through. They just had a war with the Amorites and defeated them. And now these Israelites are coming through the valley. And this king is concerned. He's like, man, they're going to take me out. So he calls on the prophet Balaam to curse them. And it's an interesting account. It's an account for you and I to learn from today, Old Testament, to back up these New Testament truths. So he tells him, he says, you can fill my house up with riches, but I cannot speak against the word of the Lord. And the king says, I'm going to give you silver and gold and honor and a position in my country. You curse this people, Israel. And the bottom line, the statement goes like this. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. I'm telling you, the blood covenant works today. And so he's furious. He's built these altars, he's killed these sacrifices, but it keeps coming back. I can't speak against God's anointed. I can't speak against God's people. They are covered. Do you realize part of that inheritance is that your enemies have no entrance into your life? When I started the first church, I sensed that so real. He's caused even my enemies to be at peace with me. There was time in my life I had this phone call and she was not happy. It ends like this. I'm going to curse you. That's a pretty strong statement to say to your pastor, isn't it? I'm going to curse you. And I said, sister, you can, but it's going to be 7 times worse on you because it's not going to come on me. And it's so true. Brother Hagin said this witches had attended a meeting. They came to curse him, sat in the front row. And afterwards, the pastor of that church says, do you know what they're here for? Do you know that they're here for? To curse you? To stop these meetings? He says, I double dog dare them to curse me. Because it will not affect me. I am under the blood of Jesus. How about you? You see, this truth gets on the inside of you. The devil can't touch you. Because you got the blood of Jesus. So I am secure. I am protected. Now, if you open the door, and you're going to know it in your heart the moment you do, the moment you walk away. Say, oh, I missed it there. Father, I'm sorry. Get it under the blood right away, okay? Yep. And so what we're seeing here today is that there is a blessing for the children of God. Isn't he a good father? I think so. If he told me to be a good father and take care of my own, how much more is he going to be as a heavenly father, take care of his kids? Oh, this is good. I tell you what, we should be shouting hallelujah. God is so good. He is going to protect his own. You cannot curse whom God has blessed. The favor of God is all over us here today. So let me close with this. Your pastor is someone who is here as a shepherd to watch over you. He's going to lead you. He's going to teach you. And Jesus is the great shepherd. But each pastor is a shepherd to the sheep. He is here to be a blessing in your life. Now, I asked Jesse, what do you want me to teach? And he says, it's up to you. So he didn't tell me any of this, okay? Or even to say anything about him. But I'm bringing it forward because as a church, you will be blessed for honoring the office that God has put in your life. If you bless your pastor, you are blessing God. Because all authority is given by the King of Kings. It doesn't mean that every man has been in that right place. But I tell you what, as long as I've known Jesse, you got a good man. And so when I say that, is he's going to lead you to the water, the still water that the sheep can actually drink, the green grass that's actually going to feed you. That revelation is going to help you in your business. So whether you're doing rentals or whether you're doing beehives, I heard different things this morning. I'm just saying, God will accelerate. I've done cars on the side and repairables, buy them. Sub it out now and have them fixed. And I've seen this work faster and faster. Put it up on Facebook Marketplace. The next day, sold. That was 2 days ago. And I'm saying, God has given you witty ideas. He's given you insights. And everybody just say, I'm blessed. I am so blessed. So blessed. And I tell you what, he'll protect your kids. He'll keep your family. It's part of the curse that someone else sleeps with your wife, that your children aren't staying with you. They're sent away. But I tell you what, you get over on the blessing side of God. Life is so good. So good. I just can't emphasize that enough. So to put it this way, I'm talking about your testimony. It's not for me to get more stuff. Even though he says he will add goods to you, so you'll get stuff, but you keep God first. Don't let stuff become the idol that takes you away on Sunday morning to go fishing or in your new bass boat, you know? It's understanding that God is my source. God is the one who blessed me. God is the one who gave this to me. God's the one that trusts me with it to be a blessing. Let's say that together. To be a blessing. I am blessed, and that's what he told Abraham. You are blessed to be a blessing. Ministry and money go together, but it's to do the work of the ministry. That's the definition of wealth. It's to continue your ministry to be a blessing. So when you go out for lunch today, look for who you can bless. You look at who in your life can you bless. Anybody know the Moores? Keith and Phyllis Moore. Well, it's another pastor down in Sarasota. But she will go out and somebody will comment her, hey, I really like your earrings. Those look nice. And she says, oh, thank you. Here, you can have them. Bless them. Turn around and bless them. And I tell you what, God will reward. He was doing a class and the Lord spoke to him. He says, buy him some shoes. It was the instructor that day. He needs some brown leather shoes. He's like, Lord, I don't have money. He was just starting out as a student. He says, I got $50 in my pocket. Buy him some shoes. Okay, Lord. Goes up. He's like waiting and talks to the instructor. And he goes, do you by happen chance need some brown leather shoes? He gets excited. He says, just a moment. Let me get my wife. Brings her over here. We just prayed right before this class for some brown leather shoes. I tell you what, doesn't that bless them? But how much more that you heard from God and were obedient? He says, since I did that, people come up and they buy me snakeskin boots. They're buying me all kinds. I've got so many shoes, boots. It's because he did obedience to the walk of faith in his life to be a blessing. All right, you guys got it. You got it. Let's go ahead and stand up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Let's just close our eyes here for a minute. Wait on the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So I heard this, that the blessing in your life cannot start until you're part of the family. And it's receiving Jesus and all that he's done. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. And so I felt in my heart that I'm supposed to ask if there be anyone here that has not received Jesus but wants to. If there's anyone here that needs to be forgiven of their past so that they could be redeemed to a future. If I'm speaking to you this morning, you'll know in your heart already, yes, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to redeem me. I need him to forgive me of my past. And so I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but between you and the Lord, would you just raise your hand right now to say, I need Jesus in my life. I need him to redeem me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Maybe it's even a rededication of coming back. Saying, Lord, I missed it here. I've been trying to do it on my own. I'm sorry. Come and forgive me, redeem me from the curse. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray this prayer, everybody together. Would you say this after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you today. And I recognize Jesus. He is your son who was sent to redeem me, to take not only my sin, but all of the curse of the law. Save me today. Forgive me today. Let me start a new blessed life. I take this in my heart. I consider this done, that I am your favorite. You would make me a coat of many colors. You love me. You know me by name. And you know my heart now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's so good. I tell you what, God will honor a sincerest prayer. You can just say, Jesus, I need you. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's never too late, friends. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We love you so much. It's so nice to meet you guys and be with you here today. Bless your pastor. Let him know that pastor told you to. Pastor Mark wants you to. And he's going to really get a kick out of that. So have a good day.